Titled my talk or preach this morning, A Way Where There Was No Way. A Way Where There Was No Way. And what I'd like to do really is to look at three aspects of who God is and how those things about our God help us to get beyond things that look as if they're impossible. When we look at things and think there's no way that's ever going to happen. There's no way we're ever going to get to the other side of this particular thing. I'm going to start by just sharing a couple of verses from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. It says this, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places will become a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. When the mouth of the Lord speaks, paths appear, ways appear, routes appear, R-O-U-T-E-S, appear, not roots, in truth. Ways forward appear when he speaks. He makes straight highways that are crooked. And that can talk about individual lives. It can talk about nations. It can talk about all sorts of things. But I'm going to look at these three aspects about our God this morning that help to clear the path for us. Firstly, our God is a God of the new. He's a God of the new. God is always wanting to reveal himself. He's always wanting to share his plans. He's always wanting to show a way. I don't know about you, but the way I sort of read the Bible, the way I tend to read the Bible is that I will read a passage or read some verses and then read them a few times while I chew it through, to see if there's a few other things that I've missed. And quite recently, I've been listening to and watching a few sort of sermons on YouTube and stuff from different people. And something really hit me, and I'd just like to share it with you. And this is something of the new, perhaps, for us in our thinking at times. It's from John chapter 15, and it's verses 14 and 15. It says this, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I'm going to say something and then explain it. Because when I first say it, you might think, what's he talking about? It's so much easier to be a servant than to be a friend. Okay, let that just soak in. It's so much easier to be a servant than to be a friend. What do I mean? When you're a servant, you work to a list. If you turn up, if somebody's a servant in a home, they might turn up in the morning and say, right, today you've got to do the hoovering, you've got to do the polishing, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do the other. That's a servant. At the end of the day, they can say, I've done what was on my list. When you're a friend, you're in on what the master's doing. That scripture shares with us there that the master wants us to know what his business is. What's he doing? He doesn't want us to be those who just have lists that we think are our duty as his servants. Yes, he wants us to serve him, but he wants it to come from a relationship of being his friend. He wants it to come out of a heart relationship between us, where we spend time listening to him, hearing what he's doing. That's harder, isn't it, than just following a list? Because we need to make time to hear his voice. We need to make time for him to change us, to sort of melt our hearts to what his heart is about. And to change our thinking sometimes. This thing about God being a God of the new, sometimes we can get stuck in the old, can't we? Now, some things of the old are good. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater here. I'm not saying every tradition is bad and that everything that we do, some things need to stay as the central things that we're doing. But our God wants us to be, it's a new every morning thing, isn't it? It's a fresh thing. Can you imagine a relationship you're in with somebody where all they ever talk about is the old days? And actually, we all do that, don't we? But if it was all about the old days, we'd never do anything new, would we? Now, there's some wonderful things in the old days. Don't get me wrong. There are some wonderful things that I think back to, some of the stuff God's done in my life, and they feed my soul, really good memories, good things that I've been taught, good things that God's done in my life. But he wants us to be close enough as his friend so that he can tell us the new stuff, what he's doing on planet Earth in 2023 that he wants us to be involved in. And it might be nothing like what he was doing 20 years ago. Some of it might be exactly the same. But God is a God of the new. Isaiah 43 says this in 16 to 19. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, their armies and reinforcements, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished and snuffed out like a wick. The Lord says this, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way for you in the wilderness and streams for you in the wasteland. So it's great to have those memories. This harks back to, can you remember when the enemy was just overthrown? Can you think back to a time where you had something going on in your life? There was something that was beating you, something that was heavy on you, and God brought victory. You got to the other side. It's great to have those memories, isn't it? It's great to have that bank of faith victories. And that's what it's saying here. It's talking about, can you remember when the chariots and horses were overthrown? And can you remember when they lay there never to rise again? But now, there's new enemies to beat. There's new things to do in the kingdom of God. So we don't need to get stuck in the past, even though some of the things in the past are great. But let's see the new thing. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Let that excite us. He wants to do some new stuff, some new things. So God is a God of the new. Our God is a God of the light. A God of the light. Benjamin Franklin wanted to interest the people in the city where he lived, Philadelphia, in having street lighting. Now, he decided not to call a town meeting to try and persuade everybody. He acted upon what he considered to be a good idea. So he hung lanterns all around his very large property on the main streets of Philadelphia. He kept the glass polished. He carefully trimmed and lit the wicks every evening at the approach of dusk. The lamps helped the people see the pavement ahead as they were going past his property. It made them feel more secure. Others began placing lanterns in the front of their houses. Within 16 months, Philadelphia had passed a law that every street must have streetlights. Our God wants us to be examples of the light. He is a God of light. He doesn't say, I am light. He shines light. He's made us salt and light, hasn't he, in this world? And he doesn't want us to talk a good game about the light. He wants us to live in the light. The things that we do bring light to people. They bring security to people. They bring truth to people. I know this is probably a verse that is in the top 10 of most Christians, I think. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And so this morning we've been talking about the word of God, haven't we? Getting the word of God into people's lives. And here's another reason why we need to do that, so that people can see a way forward. Because the word of God is a lamp to our path. It shows us which way to go so we don't wander off. So we don't wander into error. So we don't wander into sin. So we don't wander away from what he's doing. Now, light brings with it lots of things. It obviously brings direction. You know, I can think of a lighthouse, a ship coming into a harbour. A lighthouse helps a ship to direct into harbours. You can think of signs along the road that bring direction. Light brings clarity. You know, when you put a switch on in a room, it brings clarity, doesn't it, to what's ahead of you. I must admit, I did a silly thing not long ago. We were staying in this Airbnb home, and I switched the light switch off at the other side of the room before trying to get to the door to go out. And I saw there was a settee and a table, and I pretty much fell over everything, really, before I got out of the room. Because the definition of what's in the room had gone, because the light had gone. God wants us to have definition in how we see things. He wants us to have clarity. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. The final thing I want to share about our God is this. Our God is a God of the breakthrough. He's a God of the breakthrough. David in the Bible had an arch nemesis, didn't he? It was the Philistines. There are so many stories of battles he had with the Philistines. Obviously, the most famous one was the time when he slew Goliath. But there are many battles that David led God's people into against the Philistines. And I'm just going to share a couple of verses from 2 Samuel 5 where another battle was on the horizon. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands, Lord?" And the Lord answered him, "Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands." So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. And he said, "As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me." Isn't it great when we sing songs and we worship God and we read the Bible that we see God's name written in lots of different ways to help us understand who he is? And so we know that Jesus is Emmanuel, isn't he? God is with us. I don't know if you remember this song. When I was a kid, It's probably my Salvation Army background, but you might have sung it. There was a song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Do you remember that song? Jehovah Jireh is one of the names of God. It means he's our provider. God, our provider. There's another wonderful name of God that we perhaps come across at times, and is the name El Shaddai. El Shaddai means God the Mighty One. But in this story that I've just shared with you in David's latest battle with the Philistines, there is a name of God that perhaps we have sort of not really focused in on or understood or even taken much notice of. But the place where this battle went on was named Baal Perazim. And the name Perazim means God of the breakthrough. So our God is a God of the breakthrough. It actually, when you take it back right to the root of the word Perazim, it actually means the owner of breakthrough. So this one who lives inside us, not only is he a God of light, not only is he a God of the new, he's a God of breakthrough. So when we think, when that thought crosses our mind, no way, that never crosses his mind because he's the God of the breakthrough. I'm going to finish by telling you a story about, not about David. I'm going to tell you a story about another of my heroes, not a biblical hero, but somebody who might be a hero of yours as well. A man called Fred Dibner. Do you remember him, Fred Dibner? Now, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with Fred Dibner. And the fact that he demolished these incredibly large towers and buildings and stuff was great. But one of the things that I really remember about him, there was a program on one night where he was set a challenge. And he was given three walls that he needed to break through. The first one was about that thick. So he went away and he looked and he got a demolition ball, one of these swinging demolition balls, swung it, and the wall was demolished. The second one was about that thick. So he went away. Ooh, what am I going to do? He gets a bigger demolition ball. Boom. Wall's demolished. The third one was just unbelievable. It was like the thickest wall you've ever, ever seen. So Fred Dibner looks at it from all angles. Don't have a demolition ball big enough here. Don't know what I'm going to do. Then he decides what to do. He places at the foot of the wall some sticks of dynamite. And he ignites them and they demolish the wall. And the reason I'm telling you this story is when we realize the God who lives in us brings with him dunamis, dynamite, power, we will never ever again, hopefully, see a wall that's in front of us that has no way written on it as an obstacle to our God. Because our God, through his light, through his desire to bring us the new, and his power as the God of breakthrough, will take us from where we are to the other side of whatever the wall is that seems to be ahead of us. So remember the name Perazim. When you're thinking about the names of God, he is the God, the owner of breakthrough. Thanks very much. I'll be, like I say, in the other.